Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Tax Justice Warriors. And in this first episode, I wanted to tell you about the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic Program, or LITC, and I'm going to be reading for you from Publication 3319 from the IRS. That is, in its bound form, it's actually a book printed out that it tells about the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic Program, but it is also a grant application package and guideline information. So if someone, an organization wanted to run a low-income taxpayer clinic or for the clinics to do their annual or twice annual reporting, submit renewal applications, all of that information is within this book. But I wanted to tell you about the LITC program and give a little bit of its history from the first three pages. So the mission of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic Program is to ensure the fairness and integrity of the federal tax system for all taxpayers, particularly those low-income individuals and taxpayers for whom English is a second language. Among the items that the LITC grantees do are representing individual low-income taxpayers in controversies with the IRS, educating low-income and English as a second language taxpayers about their rights and responsibilities as U.S. taxpayers, identify and advocate for issues that impact low-income taxpayers, provide dollar-for-dollar matching funds, and offer LITC services for free or for no more than a nominal fee. And at least 90% of the taxpayers the LITC represents must be low income, meaning a taxpayer's income does not exceed 250% of the federal poverty guidelines. So I explain that as one individual as having roughly $30,000 of annual income, and then adding $10,000 for each additional family member. So that's not an exact figure, but it gives you a ballpark for what the income levels for the family should be to qualify. So in addition, when an LITC represents a taxpayer, the dollar amount in controversy for any tax year generally must not exceed the amount specified in Internal Revenue Code Section 7463 for eligibility for special small case procedures in the U.S. Tax Court, which that is currently a $50,000 figure. And the IRS remains committed to achieving maximum access to representation for low-income taxpayers under the terms of this grant program. Thus, in awarding 2019 LITC grants, they will continue striving to provide services to low-income and English as a second language taxpayers in every state, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico. So going into the history of the LITC program, as part of the Internal Revenue Service Restructuring and Reform Act of 1998, which was actually on July 22, 1998, we are actually this year the 20th anniversary of the LITC program. So Congress enacted Internal Revenue Code Section 7526 to authorize funding for the LITC grant program. The IRS created the LITC Program Office in 1999 to provide guidance, assistance, and oversight to LITC grantees and prospective applicants. The LITC Program Office is part of the Office of the Taxpayer Advocate, commonly referred to as the Taxpayer Advocate Service. In 1999, the IRS awarded grants totaling less than $1.5 million to 34 entities located in 18 states in the District of Columbia. The LITC Program Office's history of recruiting efforts, coupled with sound judgment in selecting federal grant recipients, has fostered the growth of a nationwide network of independent organizations working towards a common purpose in their local communities. In 2018, the IRS awarded over $11,800,000 in grants to 134 grantees located in 48 states and the District of Columbia. Maximum statutory award amount of $100,000 per grantee has remained constant since the creation of the program. Despite this limitation, our grantees have consistently delivered tremendous results. 22 of the 34 organizations that received an award in the first year of the LITC program are still with the program today. However, new organizations apply for and are awarded LITC grants annually. So they do mention that 2018 grants were awarded to grantees located in 48 states and the District of Columbia. So right now there are not LITCs in Hawaii, North Dakota, and Puerto Rico. Also, there are areas within Arizona, Pennsylvania, New York, and Florida that are not covered by their specific counties, not covered by LITCs. So, you know, now or in the future, at this point, it may not work for someone to apply for a grant, but just know that those are areas that would be given priority if you are applying for a grant for an LITC that covers one of those areas in the future. The LITC program does overlap with the Taxpayer Advocate Service, if you're familiar with that program. Generally, the Taxpayer Advocate Service does a good amount of the same work as the LITC program, but one area that the two differ is that the LITC program also covers tax court, because they often employ attorneys or different individuals that are licensed to practice before the tax court. Some of the areas, types of cases that an LITC might cover are innocent spouse relief, identity theft, injured spouse claims, audits, examinations, debt cancellation, earned income tax credit appeals, deficiency notices, liens and levies, or tax court. Also, negotiations, settlements, such as currently not collectible, offer and compromise, payment plans, installment agreements, and employee independent contractor disputes. So that's just a sampling of what the LITC program does. These are different areas that I would like to cover in the future, but just a sampling of the LITC program. Now, the program covers legal aid organizations, law schools, and independent nonprofits who work as LITC low-income taxpayer clinics. So some of the pros and cons of those different programs are that the legal aides often receive funding from the Legal Services Corporation, LSC. There are restrictions on, one restriction, for example, is that the client base is focused on United States citizens and individuals with a green card. There are some exceptions to that, but some clients have to be turned away if they are not a U.S. citizen and don't fall into the LSC requirements. Also, there is a restriction on prisoners who can be represented, certain restrictions like that. So I also was a student at the University of Missouri Kansas City Law School, LITC thing. Law schools, they have students. So they are teaching clinics, and often the students are divided the work. They're focused on getting the work done, and the directors of the clinic will supervise and teach them during the semester about doing those cases. I know one of the guidelines for running an LITC program is that we're generally focused on doing federal casework, and it's a little bit more restrictive on doing state tax casework. So some clinics decide how much state tax casework they will take on. Some limit that. Some focus on preparing tax returns. Some don't. And one unique aspect about the independent nonprofits is that they do not receive the LSC funding, so they can be a little bit more, they have less restrictions, so they can take on more cases if they would like to. They don't have to be as selective in what client base they take on. So a little bit, there can be some pros and cons between the various clinics. And for that reason, some clinics will refer a client from one to the other if one of them is restricted on who they're taking. But, you know, generally it works out that, from what I was reading, the clinics are providing free, or they might charge a nominal fee, but I generally hear about free assistance for clients, or they are providing education to low-income individuals who have a controversy, or people who speak English as a second language. And this is providing a major help to people who need that. I find it is a good buffer for the IRS that we are helping people get organized, deal with the IRS, that often we are able to take the time and focus on the cases the individuals aren't, and that definitely helps out the IRS in working with these clients. It can lead to some positive resolutions, and it certainly helps out the taxpayers in relieving their tax burdens or maybe getting some refunds that they're actually entitled to. So it's a major help for people, and I wanted to get the word out about the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic organization. Please support the programs. We love donations, and if you are interested in learning about tax controversy work or have worked in that field, you know, we would be glad to take on volunteers. That helps us in receiving some of the matching funds that we need for funding from the IRS. So please support your local taxpayer clinic, and we certainly do appreciate it. I appreciate your taking the time to listen and your support of Tax Justice Warriors. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast, because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.